Our next speaker, I never met him either till now. So let's hear what Chuck L. has to say.
Yeah. I gotta get this guy up. Hey everybody, my name is Chuck L. I've been here for 2 years. Good to see some people I haven't seen for a while. Listen, I've got about 5 minutes of stuff that I think I can talk about. So I was hoping Kat would go longer. You know what? I really like something that Kat said. She said, it's okay to feel it, you just don't have to scream it. Because of those three points of the triangle of self-obsession, the anger is a thing that I'm still working on. I've been here since 2/23/03. But I'm still working on some of that stuff. And if you made it here, you're probably ninja level on a triangle of self-obsession anyway, so I probably am not telling you nothing new. So what I'm going to do is just tell you my perspective. That's my experience, trust, and hope, and that's all I can do. It's an honor to be here. It's a privilege. I want to thank Sandy for asking. Like I said, I've been clean since 2/23/03. Just tell a little bit about my story because this is my perspective. That's all I got. I was born in a situation. An alcoholic met up with a prostitute in a bar, and I happened. That's how it happened. And I actually have early childhood memories of being in hotel rooms because this thing that the birth mother does, that type of thing. And so there's that. And by the time I was 11 and a half, I had been in more homes than you can count on your hands and feet, put it that way. So I know why I'm in the rooms. I know why I used, because I was a messed up individual, just like all of us. I had anger issues. I had resentment issues. I had abandonment issues, rejection issues, abuse issues. I know why I use drugs. I know why I use alcohol. But what this program is about is learning how to live without that stuff. And so that's what I want to talk about. To be honest, I can't really say this is true, but probably for the first 10 years, if I was able to still use drugs, I enjoyed using drugs. If I was able to use drugs without the consequences, I probably still would. But it's those consequences that got me into these rooms, those consequences that drove me to do something different. And that's what I've been learning for the last 15 years, is to do something different. And I've actually probably gotten to a place in the last 5 years that the appeal of that has actually fallen away. I mean, anybody with time will tell you that, you ain't lying that if you say you didn't enjoy that. So, but I've actually started learning some ways to enjoy life even more than that. And I get joy from other things. So all the philosophy behind this, and I brought a good friend of mine, and he's on the medical side of this, but I'm sure you've heard about the reward centers and all that stuff. So that's why I did what I did. But I'm trying to learn something different today. As Kat said, the steps, I didn't get it as much my first time through, but the second time through, I dealt with a lot of the anger and resentment and unforgiveness issues because I've got a lot of people in my life that fed into my life to help form me to who I am and set me on the path that I went on. And like I said, there's the abuse issues, physical abuse, verbal abuse, sexual abuse, mental abuse, whatever. Been there, done that. But as a kid, like I said, I was finally adopted when I was 12. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. I was adopted in a family that none of them are addicts, none of them are alcoholics. They just didn't understand why I did what I did. I didn't understand why I did what I did. we think differently, and I just responded to the trajectory that I was put on. Obviously, That's how I've gotten into this triangle of self-obsession. The crazy thing is, there are literature says that the reason we get there is that as normal people, we're supposed to grow and mature and find out that you aren't dependent on everybody around you to meet your needs. But as addicts, we didn't develop out of that. That's a lot of times when we come into the room, that's music to my ears, by the way. when we come to these rooms, we're still trying to, we're still looking for that. And we didn't quite grow. I didn't quite grow to the point of, hey, I'm responsible for, making this stuff happen. And I'm pretty sure our literature says that that's how this triangle of self-obsession gets started when we're young. As addicts, as alcoholics, we're just prone to that. So what we're learning to do is something different, and the steps is what has helped me to get away from that. The biggest step that 4 and 5, dealing with some issues, resentments, angers, unforgiveness towards all the people that are involved, the things that the ones that they did me wrong, this and that. And I got legitimate excuses to be angry, but if I hold on to that, I'm the one that's suffering from it. Mm-hmm. And it kept me stuck for a lot more years than I would have liked. I don't have regrets about my past, because it's given me a treasure and a wealth of experience that I can help others, have a little bit more empathy towards others, and I can help other people. And so I'm actually grateful for the things that have happened to me in my life. And like I said, it wasn't until the second time through the steps that I started seeing gratitude for my past, because I actually did truly forgive and let go. And as a result of doing that, then I can actually draw on this stuff and realize that there's a value to that. Because the true shame would be to go through that stuff and then just for me to die in my addiction, or me die with that secret kept to myself. The idea is to share that, and it's a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of experience, and so that's where I'm at. Probably at this point, I hit my 5-minute mark, so I'm gonna just share as I feel led, and I didn't have anything prepared. It's been a hectic week. Like I said, dealing with steps 4 and 5, and then the following steps, addressing those issues, and relying on the power, the relationship that I have with my higher power to help me to grow out of those things and to grow new behaviors beyond the ones that I was kind of corralled into developing as a kid. A lot of my adult life, I had my disease was manageable. I know from 7 or 8 years old that my illusions of grandeur were just beyond what normal people were, and everything had to be extreme. There was no half measures of anything. It was all extreme, and I just didn't understand all that. I just thought I was one of those kinds. And so my adult life, I actually was able to manage my disease for a lot of years just because I had means about me, which kept me stuck longer than I should have been. More casualties along the way, obviously. It wasn't until I got into got myself set up state with 97 grams that I realized, well, I guess I actually got to do something. And that's how it happened. So like I said, my journey has been learning about how to live differently, learn new behaviors, new coping skills. So the resentments and the unforgiveness, that's the pivotal point of this triangle, I believe. And I had a lot of them. As I started to say, when I was a teenager, my parents, like I said, they had a daughter that they never raised their voice at. And then I came in and I wrecked the world. My mom's never even had a drop of alcohol in her life. So they were religious people. And know, I rocked the world, about tore the family apart. But they would take me to everybody and their mother, professional counselors, religious preachers, and all of them would say I had anger issues. And it would make me angry. I'm like, I only got anger issues. And I truly believe I didn't. It would make me angry when they would say that. They also said that there's been one constant theme in my life. It's not a bragging thing, but it's my using was centered around having a woman. You know, if you pick up, you got to pick up. You know, that's the way it worked for me. Even in my younger years, they said that there was an issue with that too. Before my disease started manifesting itself when I was 14. But that's all part of the disease. I'm reaching outside of myself because I didn't learn proper skills growing up like most of us. So I'm just latching on this and latching on that. And that was a part of my using. Way too many years, it was automatic. If I'm picking something up, then I'm picking something up. And even clean. I got clean 3.5 years one time and relapsed over that same behavior. And somebody came to me to do an intervention on their wife. I did the intervention, not the way it should have been done, but that eventually took me out a couple months later because I did. in my head, listen, I wasn't thinking about using because I was dead set in my recovery. But I thought I had this God mentality. I thought that I could violate some morals that I knew better than, and it took me out. And that was a rough 8 months. And you think we learn our lesson. So after my stint upstate and getting clean, I still started to act out on those behaviors a few times in the early days. Not picking up because I didn't want to do that. But sometimes I didn't know at the time when I wasn't processing behaviors or feelings properly, then I'd want to go just hook up with somebody. And I noticed a triangle of self-obsession. I might be off topic, but that's my obsession. Okay? It's my story. I can only share my personal experience. So, like I said, even clean. Without the drugs, but I'm using something else as a drug, and it's acting out on another individual, and it's actually disrespecting that person. Because I'm thinking about me, thinking about my feelings, what I want. It's kind of funny that that's thinking about me, that self-obsession. I'm glad to say I grew out of that stuff. Probably 12 years ago was probably the last time I did something like that. And it's still thoughts enter my head, enter my mind sometimes. Just acting out and not being as loving to somebody as I should, usually with employees. The labor pool has really gone down. I've been in business for 31 years, and just so you know, and at one point before I entered recovery, I had 23 guys working year-round. So now I just try to keep it smaller. But the labor pool has gone down. I've actually started to reach out to some of the people in the rooms to hire them, and I deal with some people just are not as interested in moving their life forward. So it's just, you know, I deal with some anger issues still in the workplace. So I'm loving and kind outside of that, but that's the issue where I still work with is the anger on a job about being impatient and intolerant, because that's the real cause of that, impatience and tolerance. There might be some pride and arrogance. Well, I got this. Why don't you have that? Then I get angry. It's still the triangle of self-obsession. It is pretty simple to me. It all comes back to one thing. So you think I'm rambling. I'm actually jumping around on this thing, how it relates to me. So, like I said, I don't act out with the women anymore. And I don't have resentments. My birth father that would take me and leave me at places for 2 weeks at a time or 2 months at a time, for 6 months at a time, until finally CYS got involved and started putting me in foster homes. I don't have any unforgiveness towards him. He was a hurting individual. My mom was a prostitute. She actually killed a guy while I was in a hotel room with her. Made the news. She's in prison, whatever, I don't know. when they tried to finish my adoption, they had to get a hold of birth parents, and they couldn't get a hold of her because she escaped prison. So I don't know anything about it. But thank God my mind has blocked that stuff out. But I know the nightmares all the way to the time I was 16 when I found out about it. But get them off me, it's bleeding and stuff like that. You know, like I said, I know why I use drugs, by the way. Did I ever say that? We've all got stories. We've all got pains in our life. We all deal with traumas. But us, we don't have the coping skills. I didn't have the coping skills because nobody took the time to teach me coping skills. And all the homes that I was in, they were older. They didn't want to be bothered with somebody. And so I never learned. So I came in the rooms as a 36-year-old, you know, 36-year-old, 14-year-old. And even at 14, I hadn't started to develop all that stuff. So there's a lot of stuff to learn and grow. We all know how that story goes. But getting back to this triangle of self-obsession, I don't have the resentments and unforgiveness because I've truly, truly, truly worked through those steps. I've released Charles Benson and Pearl, whoever she was. I have no unforgiveness. I acknowledge and I understand that they were hurt. I mean, people hurting people hurt people. It doesn't make it right. It's just the way it is. So all the different homes that I was in and the abuse that I went through, I was actually tortured at one of the homes in an attic with a metal chair with my hands with a coat hanger around my hands because I did something bad. I can't remember. I think that had a lot to do with my anger. And most of my teenage years, I would do a lot of fighting. I guess in fifth grade, I got kicked out for school for fighting. You know, I still work on the anger things, even though I'm working through the steps. I practice recovery on a daily basis. I stay connected on a daily basis. I try to improve my contact with a higher power. I practice spirituality. But the anger thing, I can do my morning meditation and walk out, and somebody just cut me off, and it's all ruined, just like that. Not even out of the driveway sometimes. You know, it's if I had it all together, I probably wouldn't need you people. But I don't have it all together, and I'll never have it all together. Till the day I die, I'm going to need you. I'm going to need my higher power. I'm going to need the relationships that are a part of my intimate we. Which, by the way, I want to say that just talked to somebody, JK, and he said to say hi to people. I just wanted to get that out. This retreat means a lot to him. And just wanted to get that out. So, and there's some people that I hit home with. But like I said, I'm probably out of what I need to talk about. And I hope I said something that somebody can use. But I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful for my recovery. I'm grateful to not be locked into that self-obsession. One of the signs that I'm growing is that I'm actually, every day in my life, I do something nice for another individual. It's not about me. Sometimes I wish it was more than it is, but I try to reach out and help other people. That's what this is about. And that's one of the things that gives me that good feeling. You know, I told you those first 10 years when I could honestly say, and anybody that's got time would say, you'd be lying if you would say that you wouldn't use if you didn't have consequences. So I used to say that back then. And because it's the consequences that it just wasn't worth waking up in handcuffs and broke and all that kind of stuff. I'm actually learning behaviors today that are better than that. So the high that I used to get from that high, I get from being in a restaurant and paying for an elderly couple's meal and getting out of there before they knew anybody did it. In Starbucks, I'll pay for the next couple people behind me and getting out the door before anybody knows. Not getting my gratification from saying, oh, hey, thank you. No, I actually get out there. That's my high today. And it's okay. It's okay to do that. It's not, that's me learning something new. Because before it was about me doing something for me, whether it was with the drugs or the women, about making me feel better. I actually feel better helping somebody else. So that's proof to me that I'm breaking out of that triangle. But like I said, the anger thing, I still have to deal with that, and that's something that I'm struggling with. On a work day, when people just do knucklehead stuff, I just need to learn patience and tolerance. And like I said, if I had it all wrapped up, you know, there'd be no point in living anymore. I'm going to be learning till the day I die. So I want to thank everybody for letting me share. I want to thank Kat for leading it off, because I appreciate her story. That's all I got.
I'm Scott. I'm an addict. And of course, I forgot to say where Chuck is from. You know what I mean? Chuck is from home group Growing Tree.
Beaver County.
Beaver County? It says Ambridge. I don't know.